to do about it. They're terrified. They're unhappy. And they're looking at the news and all the things that are taking place in this world. Fire, floods, you name it. A fire took place near where I live this past week. People had to evacuate. Floods taking place many places. Crimes all over the place. I want you to know today, if you have not realized it yet, we are in the end times. Can I get a witness? You might be asking yourself the question today, what can I do to help usher in the second coming of Christ right now, sooner than later? Oh, beloved, this church is serious about doing the work of evangelism. And End Times Life East Ministries is working with this church and will be working with this church to get the job done. This afternoon, we're going to be taking a look at the second half of this training and implementing 20 plus ministries that everyone, what did I say? Can get involved in a ministry that would develop interest, leading people to the study of God's Word and baptism, that they may be a candidate for heaven. Let's not be selfish about this thing. But many in your minds right now, you might be thinking, what can I do? I cannot do much because I don't think I have the gift to do so. Oh, beloved, many of us feel that we have to be qualified by some miraculous experience of having degrees and letters behind our name. But I want you to take a note now of the great controversy, 606. And the prophet shares with us, thus the message of the third angel will be proclaimed as the time comes for it to be given with greatest power. What kind of power?
Greatest power.
This will take place. And as the Lord will work through humble instruments. What kind of instruments?
Humble
instruments. Leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves. Get that. Consecrate themselves to his service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of his spirit, not a letter behind your name, than by the training of literary institutions. You don't have to go to a 4-year university or college to qualify. Men of faith and prayer, men of what? Will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. Oh, beloved, I thank God for that. Because if we had to have some type of degrees and get letters to be able to go forward to do God's work, it will never get done. So I thank God for that. God's message to us at this particular hour is entitled, A Place for You in Christian Witnessing. Why do we use the title Christian Witnessing? Because we can also do demonic witnessing. And not for God. We can be a witness for God or for the devil. So, we're trying to find out today, where's my place? Stay with me, we're going somewhere. So, therefore now, let me begin this way. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are once again, Lord, coming to hear a word from you. Lord, we're tired of this sin-sick world. We want you to come. But as you shared with us in Revelation chapter 10, we must prophesy again. There's something for us to do. And Lord, what we want to know is what to do, how to do. And you've given us instructions on that. So we invite your Holy Spirit now to come and take charge. Fill this place, fill our hearts, fill our minds, that we will get the message today. This I pray in Jesus' name, by the enemy, let everyone say.
Amen.
I want to share with you a few thoughts on having your place in Christian witnessing. In the book, Matthew chapter 25, what book did I say? I'd like for you to turn there. I know it will be on the screen, but I definitely would like for you to travel with me through the scriptures today. We want you to see it for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells of the parable, beginning with verse 14, well, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave how many talents? To another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received traded with the same, and made them other by talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful what? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the what? Lo, there thou hast that is done. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. Don't miss that. Think about it. And give it unto him which hath ten talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our beloved, as we see here on the Mount of Olives, Christ has spoken to his disciples of his second advent to the world. He has specified certain signs that were to show when his coming was near. Can we look around in the world today and see that his coming is near? And he said, watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Then he showed what it means to watch for his coming. You see, the time is to be spent not in idle waiting, but in diligent working. Diligent what, everybody? Diligent working. Working for what? Working for the cause of God. Not just working to make a living, but for the cause of God, spreading his good news of the gospel. This is the lesson now that Christ taught in the parable of the talents. Again, the kingdom of heaven, he said, is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his good, and unto one he gave that five talents, another he gave two, another he gave one, according to their several ability, and he took his journey. You see, the man traveling, get this now, the man traveling to a far country represents Christ, who when speaking this parable was soon now to depart from this earth back into heaven. The bond servants, or slaves, if you please, of the parable, represents the followers of Christ. That's us. You see, we are not our own. Many of us think we are of our own. We have been bought with a price. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. What, everyone? Therefore, glorify God. How do you glorify God? Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Think about it now. Ask yourself this question. Does everything that you do glorify God? I'm in a boat with you. I think about that. Do we glorify God? Putting him first, what he's called us to do. He's called us for a great mission, and we'll see that a little later. But let me tell you now, we must put God first, and in doing so, we will glorify. by the precious blood of Jesus. Come on and say amen now. I thank God for dying on the cross for me. He did that. He didn't have to do that. No, he did not. So as the scripture puts it in 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God has gone a long way for us. He's done so much for us. Think about what we ought to be doing for him. At least we can follow his counsel and follow what he's called us to do. Can I get a witness? Our beloved, in that great book, Christ's Object Lessons 3:26, it says, all men, how many men?
All.
Have been bought with this infinite price by pouring the whole treasury of heaven into this world, by giving us in Christ all heaven. God has purchased the will, the affections, the mind, the soul of every human being. So he owns us, whether believers or unbelievers. Wow. Think about it. All men are the Lord's property. So when you see someone that doesn't appear to be a follower of Christ, that person still is God's property. All are called to do his service. Wow. All are called to do his service for him. And for the manner in which they have met this claim, all will be required to render an account at the day of judgment. Wow. Is that something for us to do? Our beloved, we need to understand this thing is serious. The Bible goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:15, we don't live unto ourselves. And it says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, you're not just living on this earth to yourself, not following your own plans, but God's plans. You don't live unto yourself. We shouldn't even make plans and take them to God. Go to God and get the plans for your day. Can I get a witness? God is saying to us, we must be faithful. Oh, yes? Then he goes on to say, to his servants, Christ commits his goods. God has given all of us gifts and talents to use for his cause. Yes, he has. Something to put you to use for him. He gives to every man. What did I say? Every man his work. Each has a place in the eternal plan of heaven. Each and every one of us. None of us has an excuse. Each is to work in cooperation with Christ for the salvation of souls. So whatever gift that you have, God has given you that gift to build up the kingdom of God. Not more surely is the place prepared for us in heaven. The heavenly mansion then is the special place now, designated on earth, where we all are to work for God. So you ask yourself the question, who am I working for? Who am I lending my talents to give honor and glory day by day? My brothers and sisters, the greatest failure we could face, if not the greatest sin, would be to miss altogether God's purpose for our lives. There's a special place now designated right here on earth for each and every one of us, where God wants us to serve and work for him. Ask yourself the question, what do you have a passion about? Now I have to make sure that you don't twist this context, amen. But I'm talking about a passion that brings glory to God, amen. Don't want to be misunderstood today. What do you have a passion about that will bring God glory, that will build up the kingdom of God? That is a gift from God to do his will. You may have a gift of doing something in a secular world, whereas it is a good thing. You should use that very gift to build up the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness now? All beloved, let's take a look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah. The name Jeremiah means sent by the Lord, as the lightning is sent by the cloud, and the arrow is sent by the bow. This man, Jeremiah, was designated, he was called and chosen by God, and God sent him. He was sent by God. And he was a light being in a time of prevailing darkness. And that's what God wants you and I to be, a light being in this time of darkness. So many people in this world have no hope, don't know where that could water their souls with peace. God is asking us to share this light. Jeremiah was called and lifted up so that his voice might be the voice of God against the sins of Israel. In other words, Jeremiah, God says, I want you to tell it like it is. My people are in darkness, and I want them to come out of darkness into my marvelous light, that others who are in darkness can be saved too, those surrounding nations. Our beloved, Jeremiah was rejected. And even though we may commit ourselves to do God's work, many of us will be rejected. But don't get discouraged. Jesus was the greatest soul winner that ever walked this earth, and he did not win anybody. Jeremiah was rejected because he didn't say what the people wanted him to say. He was misunderstood. Anybody here look like that? Feel that you've been misunderstood? Jeremiah was forced to be counted amongst the traitors, you see. You tell the truth, you are a traitor. You're not with us anymore, Jeremiah. His own people, for he meant nothing but good, considered him to be an enemy because the message that he was bearing was too straight without a trace. Therefore, he was rejected by the very people to whom he was sent. But don't worry about it. Bottom line is, when we carry the gospel to people, whether they accept it or reject it, it's a witness for them or against them. My brothers and sisters, God's will often seems incredible to the unsanctified heart. We don't understand. A lot of things God says to us and tell us to do doesn't make any sense, but that's no problem with God. That's because we don't have that much sense. And God is leading us to do his will without question. Please understand, if we're not walking with God, we don't understand what he's doing, and the wisdom of God appears to many of us to be foolishness. Lord, why are you telling me to go down the street and turn right and go to that second house on the corner? Doesn't make sense to me. That's a complicated house. God says, go forward. I have a mission for you. See, the truth is, beloved, we can become so accustomed to following the wisdom of this world. Just because we can't see the end result, we won't step out of faith with God. And the logic of this world and its great thinkers, we have to have it that way. And the rationalism by which the world is motivated, many of us follow that. That we can come to the place where wrong seems right and right seems wrong. Can I get another witness here? Amen. Look at the world today when it comes to the alternate lifestyle. You can see the balances are weighted and swaying till one day it will be as the Word of God says, which never lies as it was in the days of Lot. We are there. All beloved, we are closer than when we first believed. Christ soon. Beloved, we must realize we got to get the job done and do what God has called us to do in spite of what anybody thinks or anybody says may not make sense to us. That's why he says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. It's time for us to trust God with our lives and according to his commands. Follow him. What did you say? Amen. So the logical question right here could be asked, why would God choose a man like Jeremiah amongst all the people of Judah? This was a crybaby. He always complained, crying. Why would God choose him? You see, we have to understand that God doesn't look at people the way we do. The outward appearance of someone, we'll just do a thumbs down on them if they don't look right. But I'm so glad God doesn't think like that, or God doesn't move like that, amen? God doesn't judge like that, because if he did, this brother would not even be standing before you. There seems to be nothing very special about Jeremiah. You see, he was an ordinary man with many negative traits. So many of us can't do a thumbs down on him. We have some negative traits. When we give over to the demonic spirit and say yes to it, according to Romans 6:16, we yield ourselves to obey that direction. But you see, God's chosen instruments in all ages, though they appear to others to be unqualified or not credible, get this, are cut out to do the purpose that God has chosen them for. God gets the glory. Think about the story of Gideon when God told him he had too many men, chopped it down from 32,000 down to 300. And from our perspective, it says, how can we win this war? And as it goes on in the spirit of prophecy, she says that if God had allowed them to win with a large number, they would have thought they had something to do with it. Oh, beloved, God will get the glory. God will allow things to take place to where he will be revealed the one in charge. He will be revealed the one who made it happen, not us. So let's trust God anyhow, what do you say? But who would have chosen also? Peter, James, and John. Who would have chosen Ellen White with merely a third grade education? I would like to say none of us would. Those of us who are pro-education, and there's nothing wrong with that, but many of us are putting the cart before the horse. I want to be educated by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God chose Jeremiah as he chooses all of us today. Yes, today. The text says in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Wow. You mean to tell me, Lord, it sounds like that you're calling many, but you only want to pick a few? Earlier in the message, we just mentioned that God wants all of us, all of his children, to do his work. Why does the text say here, for many are called, but few are chosen? When you look at the context of this and you get deep into this thing, you will find out that all of us are called to do God's work and will, but only a few would choose to do it. You ask people to raise their hand who want to be committed to the work of God, and you might have an audience of 500 and maybe 40 or 50 are raised their hand. Raise their hand. Maybe. Yes, maybe. A few. And that says a lot about the human nature. Unregenerate human nature does not want to do the things of God. And like we said earlier, this past week, it is impossible to train people to win people for God when they're not one themselves. So let's get it together now. Let's commit ourselves personally, be serious about this thing, then God can choose us, and then we will be one of the chosen. Are you still with me? Come on and say amen. Yeah. Oh, beloved, the first thing Jeremiah did, like many would do, disqualify himself. When God called him to go forth and do his will, the first thing he says, looking there in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6, Lord, I can't speak. I'm only a child. Think about what's happening today. There's children today witnessing for the enemy and doing a good job. Children today that can play all these fanciful video games and doing all types of tricks with them and all that stuff, winning those games, doing a great job with the video games, but when it comes to the word of God, oh, they can't handle it. God said to Jeremiah, I chose you. I knew you while you were in the belly. You may think that you can't speak, but I'm going to speak through you, and that's what God says to all of us. No matter what, you will go forward and do my will. If you will, don't worry about what you're going to say. Study and pray to show thyself approved unto me, and I will speak through you. Yeah. This is what God wants us to do, is to commit ourselves a living sacrifice. Jeremiah didn't want to do it. Get somebody else to do it. Is that the way the mainstream of the church body thinks today? Oh, the call is made for us to go and do God's work. The call is made for us to finish this work. The call is made for us to commit ourselves a living sacrifice, to go and help somebody out of darkness into this marvelous light. The call is made, and the things that many would think, this phrase, get somebody else to do it. Oh, beloved, don't let that or allow that to be our testimony. That's the way many are. Bottom line is, we think about doing God's work when we feel that we can do it in our own strength. And God has promised to give us the power. Our beloved, many times the qualities and the attributes of God are attributed to a man because of his eloquence. Can he speak well? Can he teach well? Can he have perfect grammar?
You see, the eloquent man is not always the most gifted. We must not despair or give up. No, because of an apparent disqualification that we see in ourselves. God has a place for you. God has a place for me in His Word. What God demands is not so much qualification. Please understand that. But a willingness. What did I say? A willingness to serve and to help. God just wants a willingness. Don't worry about your qualifications. You see, qualifications can be developed, but God has chosen us. Thank you, Jesus. He could have chosen rocks. Thank you, Jesus. Because see, God sees not as man sees. God wants a willing heart from a willing servant. Take a look at what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 6:37. Because many of us are looking on the outside and externals of people and trying to decide whether or not it is the right thing to do. God knows the heart. And when Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel, in verse 7, looking at 1 Samuel 16, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance." Many of us are amazed by how some people look. Oh, they're handsome. Oh, they're pretty. They must be the right person. "Look not on his countenance, for in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh where, everyone?
On the heart."
On the heart. On the heart. In that great book, Education 266, looking at paragraph 1, it says, "The elder brothers from whom Samuel would have chosen did not possess the qualifications that God saw to be essential in a ruler of his people. Proud, self-centered, self-confident, they were set aside for the one whom they lightly regarded. One who had preserved the simplicity and sincerity of his youth, and who, while little in his own sight, could be trained by God for the responsibilities of the kingdom. So today, in many a child whom the parents would pass by now, God sees capabilities far above those revealed by others who are thought to possess great promise." Amen. I'm so glad God chooses, amen. I'm so glad God does the picking. Oh, yes. In Jeremiah chapter 1, looking at verse 4 and 5, Jeremiah constantly had this counsel coming from God, and he said in verse 4, chapter 1, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," I would love for the Lord to constantly be talking to me. What about you? "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." So what's the word about? "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So don't worry about that you can't speak. I'll take care of that, Jeremiah. You see, God knew before we were born, each and every one of us. And he knows and has our destiny in his hands. So if we stay connected with him, guess what's going to happen? We will be in the will of God for our lives. Don't you want to stay in the will of God?
Yeah.
Or get in the will of God and stay in the will of God? Let us understand what our two most important duties are as disciples of Christ. It's time to get serious about God's work, what do you say? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, what did I say? Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, looking now at verse 13 and 14. After this fellow, Solomon, goes through all of what he's gone through, trying everything that he can think about, he was unhappy, unfulfilled. And he came to this conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, do what everyone?
Yeah.
And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work. How much work? Into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is telling us, let us take care of business. Let's look at the conclusion. What is the conclusion? Keep God's commandments. That's number one. The second one is this. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. God says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And we ought to rejoice. Jesus is all powerful, though the devil may be powerful, but our God is all powerful, and he trumps the devil. Come on and say amen. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Get this now. Teach, then baptize. So you can make soldiers from my front line. Then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and go, I am with you always. So don't give up when the door is slammed in your face. Don't give up when someone turns their back on you while you're trying to share the gospel to peace and truth to them. Don't give up. I'm with you. I'm with you, even until the end of the world. Sad to say, some people don't believe God's with them. Because there's some things that some of us do and say, and God is with us. And if we realize and thought about the fact that God is with us, there's a lot of things we just won't say or do. Trying to get a witness. Am I on your street now? Oh, beloved, let's be real about this thing. God has called us to do a great work. He's called us to be serious about what he's called us to do. And he's not going to take no for an answer. He'll just pass us by. Stay with me, young Lord. Our church, we must follow the duties that no one else can take our place. God has called us for a special place. We may fail God, but no one else can take our place. He's given us the gift to do a special thing. You see, the thoughts and ways of God in relation to his creatures are above our finite minds. We can't understand this, but we may be assured that his children, and that's us, will be brought to fill the very place which they are qualified and able to accomplish the very work committed to their hands. So don't think you just fell into this and you just built up something and you got things going on. God is leading, especially when it brings him glory and builds up his kingdom. And if we submit to God, then his beneficial plans may not be frustrated by the perversity of man. And please now, realize this, here and now, that a life lived totally for Jesus will produce God's place for you. Can I get a witness, my boy? Christian witnessing has more impact now. Don't miss this. Has more impact of the Christian life lived than any Bible study. A life of love and life of ministering to others' needs. It's a great Bible study. And when people see that, guess what? Oh yeah, they will be reassured that there is a God. There is a God, and they will want what you have. Yes, they will. And that's the time when the Word of God will flourish in their heart. I want what you have. That's why those of us who profess to be followers of Christ, we need not go around sad with our chins right in our chest in despair. We're advertising for Jesus. We're supposed to be modeling for Jesus. When people see us, they need to say, I want what you have. You just had this traumatizing thing that took place in your life, but you have peace, and I want that. You just had something terrible happen to you, and you have peace. I want that. Where do you get it from? Let us truly model for Jesus, amen. That's a place for us in Christian witnessing when we do that. Are you still with me? Oh, beloved, if you want to know where your place is, you must consort with holy angels. Yes. And you know, when you consort with holy angels, when you live a life committed to the Word of God and the will of God, guess what? When you live that life, no matter where you are, and I always like to say, and I think I said this last week, the secret to being a saint is to be a saint in secret. So that means when I'm at home, I'm a saint also. And that means that as I carry my life the way God would have me carry it, guess what? Holy angels like to come to those places. Where God is lifted up, where God's life, for the life of the Christian is in honoring God and all they say and do, their home is in order with God, angels come to those places. And you will be consorting with holy angels. Angels love to go to the places where that type of attitude and commitment to God is present. Therefore, we know the angels are here right now. Come on and say amen. This is where the Holy Spirit dwells, Sabbath after Sabbath. Every time the doors are cracked open here, the Holy Spirit is in this place. You have a leader that is doing what God has called him to do and training his laity to finish the work, and God gives his power to make that successful. Don't you want to get on board? Not on board, don't miss the boat. God is calling you today to find your place in Christian witness. Oh, beloved, that's right here in your walk. This is the place for Christian witnessing. This is the place for Christian witnessing. Start at your home and bring it to the church, Christian witness. Bring it from your job, Christian witness. to that. If you find God's place for you, He will produce a variance in your plan. Yes, He will. And in thoughts and in the place of your employment, He will take care of business. God will produce a variance in your home. He'll fix the broken homes. He'll make the crooked things straight. He will make a variance in the car you drive. In other words, you're giving your life to God, and He's directing every facet of your life. In the neighborhood where you live, your home and yourself will be a beacon light to that neighborhood. That's where it ought to be. It's not about allowing the church to do something before I do something. Let my home be the first church. Amen. Amen. And then from there, as I bring the neighbors to my home and build it up, that's one of the ministries we'll be implementing, and build up that little small congregation right there in the home, I can transition that to God's church. That's what God is calling us to do. Those of us who are truly selling out for God. Somebody said, you know what? The only people that's going to make it into heaven and God's great heaven is those who are sold out for God. Don't you want to sell out for God? It's time to do that because time is ticking on the close of probation to take place. Oh, beloved, we need to do that. Be effective in the neighborhood of where we live. Even the children that we bring into this world, God will make a variance in those plans. Make a difference by His power that is reflected through our lives. Let's be serious about this thing. Because we say we're a Christian, we believe that we are, let's not profess and not display that we are a child of God. What do you say? Let's not give the wrong direction. The people in our home, our neighborhood, on our jobs, ought to know about Jesus Christ and His saving power. And He's coming again to redeem His children from this earth. They can take notice of that by the life we live and the love we give. If the people in our homes, get this now, if the people in our homes don't know Jesus, if the people in our neighborhood don't know Jesus, and on our job don't know Jesus, people that we've been knowing for a long time don't know Jesus, we are misrepresented. Think about it. Let's get busy with Jesus. What do you say? Well, living with God in the midst of our lives, we will make a difference. We will make a difference in this world for Christ. We don't have to be just sitting here twiddling our thumbs and wondering what can we do for God. God will lead us to that place He has for us. Amen. And we'll be able to share the peace that people that's in this world, that's in darkness, that's having party because their children have been kidnapped for years. They don't know the road. And God has given us the map to show them. And prevail. Our beloved, we need to take care of business. With Jesus in the midst of our lives, we will make a difference in this world for Christ and close this thing. But sad to say, many who are professing Christ, who's in the church, are called to help in the ministry of God, of winning souls, still will not answer to the call. Have mercy. I don't have a direct quote, but right there in the Spirit of Prophecy, she talks about the fact that, you know what, the majority of the people that are in the church right now will not make it. The majority of the people that's going to be saved is not in the church yet. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Why, Lord? Because of the unconverted condition of many in the church, I can't bring many. But we need that in God's hand. What I'm telling you today is to be sure that you're sold out. And you're doing what God has called you to do. Lead the salvation of men and women up to Him. But let's not misdirect people. Let's escort them down the right path. What do you say? Many are called, but only a few would choose to do it. Only a few would choose to work with God. Now, in this parable, you see the one that had that one talent? He buried it in the earth. And you know the story. You know what the scripture says. It was taken from him and given to the other one that had 10, who was using his gifts and multiplying it. Every one of us, what did I say? Every one of us have been given gifts. God has placed special gifts in His church. In the book 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God lines out what the gifts are. He spells it out again in Ephesians 4, the gifts of His church. And therefore, there is gifts in the church. He's given us different gifts and also other gifts too that you may not find listed in the Word of God. But these are the given to us, it's been given to us, excuse me, for us to build up the kingdom of God, and if we don't use it, it will be taken from us and given to someone else. Word of God. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. What book did I say? Revelation chapter 3. God says, I am going to speak to my people right now at this moment. And I want them to be serious about what will be shared from this particular scripture. It's time for us to understand that we can lose our gift to someone else if we don't allow God to place us in a place of Christian witness. If we don't commit ourselves to do God's will in Christian witness. Revelation chapter 3, looking at verse 10 and 11. Look, you have it saying that. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. In other words, no matter where you're going through, the challenges you face, I'm going to keep you. You've been faithful. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Yes. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. But God says, I'm going to keep you. Trump card key text right here, verse 11. Behold, I come what? I come what? I come quickly. Behold, hold that fast. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man, what did I say? No man take thy crown. No man take thy gift. Amen. Let me tell you something. It came down with just my wife and myself. And there was only one crown left to get in there. That crown was mine. I love my wife. Oh yeah, don't mess with Sister Johnson. But that crown is mine. Hold fast down that thou hast, that no man take that crown. Don't allow the situation to come where your testimony would be that you did not use your gift that God has given you to build up this work, and it was taken from you and given to somebody else. Because you was living for yourself and not for God. So hold on to what you have, that no man take your crown. Hold on to what you have, that someone won't take your seat in this church. Notice what I said earlier. To take the place of men. The shaking time has a commence, and it started a long time ago. Those who are just simply playing games and playing church, their places are going to be taken, and someone will take their crown. Oh, beloved, let us follow the light of God that He has given us here in 2013 to finish His work. Finish His work, and He will lead us to that special place that He has for you and that He has for me. Don't allow the only gift that you may have be taken and given to somebody else. And now I want to make a few appeal. Beloved, if we don't worship and serve God, we are default worshiping and serving the devil. If we don't witness for God, we're witnessing for the devil. Simple as that. There's no middle ground. Some people say, well, I'm not on God's side, he's on Satan's side. I'm on the fence. I want you to know the devil owns the fence. We need to be serious about this day. Amen? Amen? So there may be someone here today that want to give their heart to Christ for real this time. No strings attached. You want to take their business. You want to go all out for God. You want to sell out for Him. You want to prepare for baptism by taking baptism. So therefore, I want to make two appeals. The first one is there anyone here by the show of hands who want to begin studying the Word of God to prepare for baptism that you may go to the front line of the cause of God? Is there anyone? Is there one? Praise God. Praise God. He's up with you. I'd like for you to stand. I'd like for you to stand. If you're able to stand, I'd like for you to stand. Amen? Amen. Taking Bible studies to prepare for baptism. That's the call. That's the call. I'd like someone to make sure you take note of these individuals to get their name. Then, the second thing. There's someone here that needs to be rebaptized. We saw a rebaptism this morning. Praise God. Amen. Angels singing in heaven. Praise God. But someone here today needs to be re-baptized. You may feel that you've been in a backslidden state. Many think that, well, they're not here. No. You can be a backslider in the face of God being here every week because because you're backsliding or have backslid in the principles. And you want to recommit your life now to go forward with God for real this time. Amen. If that's your testimony, let me see your hand. Amen. Amen. Everyone that raised their hand, I'd like for you to stand. I'd like for you to stand. You want to recommit yourself and do rebaptism. Rebaptism. Amen. Rebaptism. Baptism and rebaptism. Baptism and rebaptism. Now, we want to make sure these individuals get followed up with. Amen. Now, there are many of us who are on a battlefield. We have battle scars to show that we've been hit from every side of the enemy. And we need strength to go forward. Anyhow, we need strength that our unbelief doesn't overtake us. We need strength to do that. And you want a prayer prayed in your behalf this morning that God will empower you more to go forward for this call and not give up. If that's your testimony, I'd like for you to stand up as I pray for all of us. And as you stand, I'd like for you to pray silently in your heart for yourself, as well as the family you represent and your loved ones and friends. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we thank you for remembering us today, giving us another chance to commit to you. And oh God of heaven, as we contemplate participating in the training this afternoon, may we take it seriously. May we go forth and not turn back. Allow ourselves to be equipped in your army to finish your work. May we be faithful until you shall come. And oh God of heaven, your sons and daughters have stood requesting Bible studies to prepare for baptism. Be with them in a very special way. Ignite them with even a double dose of your Holy Spirit. Bless them, oh God, in a very special way. You know their hearts. You know their needs. You know their silent prayer that's within their hearts. Lord, answer according to your will. And then for those who are committing themselves to be rebaptized, Lord, hold them. May their commitment remain steadfast. And may they take the steps all the way, reconnecting with you. Keep them, O Lord. Keep their decision. And bless their families and their prayers also. And for the rest of us who are standing, Lord, who's been on this road for a mighty long time, Lord, we're challenged, but and our faith is challenged. Unbelief tries to tabernacle, but we should believe. Lord, please help us to hold fast that no man take our crown. Help us to go far, go all the way with you. Because we know the end of the story, we will reign with you for the ceaseless ages of eternity. We know the end of the story. Help us never to give up and trust you with our lives. Thank you in advance for blessing up these petitions. And thank you in advance for taking us all to the kingdom when you shall come. And for those who have not made a decision today, those who are still sitting in the valley of decisions, wavering, Lord, give them no rest nor peace till they decide for you. Once and for all. And whatever I fail to ask, please fill out your grant. This I pray in the holy and worthy name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen.